Two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist David Rhodes' new headline-making book, Where Tyranny Begins, the Justice Department, the FBI, and the War on Democracy, is out today. Over the course of his presidency, Donald Trump intimidated, silenced, and manipulated Justice Department and FBI officials. He sowed public doubt in both agencies so successfully that when he tried to overturn the results of the 2020 election, he paid little political cost and, despite an unprecedented array of criminal indictments, easily won the Republican nomination for the 2024 presidential election. In Where Tyranny Begins, Rhodes investigates the strategies Trump systematically used to turn the country's two most powerful law enforcement agencies into his personal political weapons. He also reveals how, during the Biden years, Justice Department nonpartisan 1970s norms that Attorney General Merrick Garland reinforced inadvertently helped Trump and could fail to deliver a trial and legal accountability by Election Day 2024. It is a great pleasure to welcome David Rhodes back to the roundtable. The new book is Where Tyranny Begins, the Justice Department, the FBI, and the War on Democracy. David, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's really nice to have you back on the program. I appreciate your great work, and the book is tremendous. Let me ask you, just as the last line that I read there about could fail to deliver a trial and legal accountability by Election Day 2024, we're seeing Jack Smith turn and say and look for an appeal to Aileen Cannon's ruling. And this is, if no matter what happens, that what she did in that court was successful in most likely 99% chance of moving this issue post-election, correct?
Correct. I do not believe there will be a classified documents trial before the election.
So what does that say about the utility belt that the former president has and has had that allows him to be up against it so many times in a legal system and not, as of yet, pay a price?
I think it's a reflection of how kind of polarized our system has become. I'm trying to give a simple answer here. It's there is a view among a large group of conservatives. Bill Barr, who also served as Attorney General under Trump, saw this, that the presidency was weakened too much by Watergate, and that the creation of independent counsels such as Robert Mueller, who would investigate the wrongdoings of presidents and their aides, had sort of weakened the presidency too much. And you see, and this has lingered in kind of conservative legal circles for a long time. So the ruling that threw out the case by Judge Eileen Cannon in Florida, that threw out the classified documents case, said that it was improper that Jack Smith was appointed as an independent counsel, that it sort of questioned the constitutionality of independent counsels. For 50 years, judges and the Supreme Court have accepted the constitutionality of independent counsel. So it was a very unusual ruling. So it's a success of Trump. He's very smart. The book talks about using very clear tactics, some of which he learned from Roy Cohn, to kind of pressure judges and pressure people in the Justice Department and the FBI. And the strategy has worked. It didn't work in New York. He had the criminal trial here for the hush money payments, but it has worked in terms of the January 6th case and the classified documents case.
In the sense of Where Tyranny Begins, the Justice Department, the FBI, and the War on Democracy, when did the pieces start coming together for you that of the strategies that Trump, as you say, was systematically using to turn both the FBI and the Justice Department into his personal law enforcement agencies?
The chapters of the book kind of walk through the different strategies. The first one is something called, and let me just back up. I just want to say there's political pressure on the department from Democrats also, and I'll get there, but I do want to talk in detail about the tactics Trump used. The first chapter is called LOL, Nothing Matters Lawyering. That's LOL, the acronym. I've got two young daughters for Laugh Out Loud, and my daughters are very online. And then Nothing Matters Lawyering. And it was that was told to me by a kind of career nonpartisan Justice Department worker who realized that a lot of the legal filings early in the Trump administration, a lot of the cases weren't, you know, necessarily about winning the case in court. They were about three things. One was sort of, you know, publicity, like getting out the message that they were trying to get out. The travel ban is one example of this, you know, that there are Muslims coming into the country and endangering people. The second thing was sort of owning the libs, like getting a very strong reaction, outrage from liberals. And the third part of LOL, Nothing Matters Lawyering, was trying to sort of impress Trump himself and dominating public discourse, which, again, he's very astute and he does that. Other things that other chapters in the book, other tactics were demolish norms. Trump, you know, openly criticized the Mueller investigation. He fired James Comey. No president since Nixon has dared to do that because they feared they'd be forced from office. Chapter three, terminate and remove. He Peter Strzok, people part of the Trump-Russia investigation. That sent a clear message to civil servants that you will pay a price. Investigate the investigators. He questioned Mueller and his, was he nonpartisan or not? Disparage and discredit, shield and protect, stoke conspiracy theories. Those are just some of the pattern of tactics I saw Trump use. And it didn't always work. I think the Mueller investigation was very thorough. It did, oddly, in the end, you know, show that Trump didn't collude with Russia, that the independent counsel system sort of worked. But the problem today is that there's very large numbers of Americans who don't trust the Justice Department. 75% of voters in recent polls say they have little to no trust in the Justice Department, and 87% of Republicans say they have little to no trust in the Justice Department.
What was that, say, 10 years ago? Any idea?
Not super high. I would guess around 50%. That's a very good question.
Yeah.
You got me here. But I think it's lower now. And I think that Democrats have been frustrated with, you mentioned Merrick Garland, that why didn't he just go faster and have the January 6th trials, you know, faster so that Trump could sort of be disqualified from running for president. And you know, I can talk about that in more detail, but there were people in the Justice Department who told me, and Garland has said this to aides, but that they don't think that the Justice Department, like trials or criminal trials, are necessarily the right place for this country to resolve its political differences, and that it's a kind of clunky system. Delay can work, as Trump has shown, and it's very charged. And Garland himself, I keep my answer shorter, but Garland himself is just a passionate believer in the post-Watergate norms of an independent Justice Department. Attorney General carries out the broad policy priorities of a democratically elected president, crackdown on violent crime, crackdown on environmental violations. That's fine. But when it comes to individual criminal cases, the president should play no role, you know, to go easy on someone or go hard on them. And Garland has told aides, you know, in a way, the Justice Department can't say much. They speak in court. They have to wait for trials to speak, and that they just get lambasted by politicians, you know, for what they do, again, from the left and the right. And Garland, you know, his grandmother survived escaped the Holocaust because they were able to come to this country and be protected by the rule of law in the United States. So he believes in the rule of law and upholding it. But he's told he's admitted to his aides, yes, the Justice Department has a hand tied behind its back compared to a political actor. Garland has told him that about not being able to fight back and say, you know, and somehow attack their attackers. But Garland has vowed he will never let the Justice Department cross that line and become political. Garland has told aides, we would not want to be a political actor. That is the end of the rule of law. So it's sort of a contradiction. The courts what people in the Justice Department say is that elections should resolve our political differences, not criminal trials.
Rutgers journalism professor David Greenberg, in reviewing your book for the New York Times, starts with a line that says a lot of people seem to have forgotten what made Donald Trump's presidency so dangerous. And one of the things that you seem to make very clear in this book of politicization of the Justice Department shows just how dangerous it was and could be under another term.
Yes. One of the concerning things about the immunity ruling that the Supreme Court came out with, this is now delayed and complicated, the January 6th case against Trump, is that the Supreme Court ruled that any conversation of any kind between the president and the attorney general can't be used as part of a criminal investigation into wrongdoing by a president. And that's extraordinary. That's a wider, definition of how a president can be investigated by the Justice Department than we've ever had. I literally had a former Justice Department official say that if an attorney general sat down at the president's invitation and they talked about how to break into the Democratic National Committee's offices, that couldn't be used in an investigation or in a trial under this new ruling. And he thinks that went too far. So whether it's a Democratic or a Republican president, it's a dangerous thing in terms of abuse. And just this, again, comes out of this philosophy, this sense among conservatives that the presidency was weakened too much by Watergate. Bill Barr gave a big speech on this when he was attorney general. And he believes that, it's okay for the president to, have that kind of power, and an attorney general to just, be a little bit political, because voters will act as a check on that. And so it's, instead of special counsels being appointed to investigate presidents, you should have voters make a decision every 4 years.
You touched on Merrick Garland, but let's talk about really the second part of the book, which you look at the efforts by Merrick Garland to restore the norms of political independence as Biden's attorney general. Why has that been so difficult?
I think that Garland is a former appellate judge, and I think he wanted to get everything right. He was concerned, I think, that if he rushed the investigation, it would be reversed by an appellate court, like one he sat on before. It would be reversed by the Supreme Court. That he knew that this was so unprecedented that it would be put under a legal microscope. There's other folks, the Washington Post had stories on this about there sort of being a lost year in terms of the investigation, going too slowly the very first year Garland was in office. But to be fair, this Supreme Court ruling that came out, which I think surprised people in the Justice Department on immunity, even if Garland had gone faster, this kind of Supreme Court ruling would have derailed a January 6th trial. There's frustrations, I think, on both sides of our political divide about how all this has played out. And just a broad theme of the book is that I just do think this hyper-partisanship is going too far. It's leading to Democrats and Republicans to sort of not trust the DOJ. And just one quick anecdote, Robert Hur was appointed as a special counsel by Garland to look into Biden's handling of classified documents. And, I think listeners will remember this, but Hur put in his final report. He was explaining why he didn't prosecute Biden for hanging on to, and he did, he hung on to some classified documents long after he left office. And he said that was because, President Biden, President Biden would come across in a trial as a well-meaning older man with a memory issue. Hur was savaged by Democrats for saying that. And, listeners saw the Trump-Biden debate themselves. President Biden does have some memory issues. So, I think Hur was trying to get to the facts and explain his decision. And this is where the hyper-partisanship, you know, I think takes a toll.
The book is fascinating. It is Where Tyranny Begins, the Justice Department, the FBI, and the War on Democracy. The book is out today. David Rode, thank you very much for being with us once again. Best of luck with the book, and thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Be well. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.